You're listening to Radiotopia Presents from PRX's Radiotopia.
I'm excited to tell you that one of our favorite Radiotopia siblings, Ear Hustle, is back with a new season. Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast. Co-hosts Nigel Poor and Erlon Woods have recently been spending time at four California prisons and have a season's worth of funny, surprising, and unforgettable stories to share. In a recent episode, they were able to visit a groundbreaking prison hospice where they spoke to men who are grappling with the reality of dying inside prison. Also coming up this season are stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells, complicated mom-daughter relationships in prison, and incarcerated people who wonder whether they've become too comfortable behind bars. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
How long can you stay still? Like, try it now. Stop whatever you're doing and just hold. Can you feel it? Those little brush fires of energy that are starting to break up and down your entire body. But that's just your mind being silly. Don't let it win. I laid like that on an ordinary weekend afternoon when I was 7 years old, draped on a scratchy brown couch. The rest of my family went about their usual Saturday business downstairs, watching MTV, playing Super Nintendo, cooking some kind of stew. But I, the nerdiest of nerds, was giving myself this extra credit assignment. I watched a second hand glide around a wall clock with gold Roman numbers, around and around, adding minutes, just like I'd learned about in Mrs. Brown's class the year before. The smallest stick on the clock, though, barely budged. I can do this.
There are no little fires in my body.
The stick moved. A little. A little more. I kept myself still for an entire hour, just to prove that I could. Mom and Daddy and Vic and Sammy were always saying I talked too much. Maybe they were right. Maybe I was too loud. But look, I won. Stayed on the couch the whole time. I could be quiet. I could behave. I was great at being good. You can call me Afia. This is the story of my family and our lives in a quote-unquote shithole country. We are officially in 2018, and I'm going home to California in a few days. But only if my mom doesn't kill us all first. It's New Year's Day, and the fam is heading back from a day at Bojo Beach. About a third of the city had the same idea. So naturally, Agnes is dealing with the awful traffic by living her life a quarter mile at a time. She just baited a school bus next to us, full of grown men, into a high-speed game of chicken.
I don't think he would stick this school bus in my face.
Well, whose school bus is being used as a taxi right now? This is truly the OK Corral here.
I suppose the upside to dying horribly in this completely unnecessary drag race is that I would be forever released from making any more major life decisions. I still don't know what to do about this whole moving to Ghana versus staying in America thing. I've talked about it with at least a dozen family members, but it feels like each conversation just raises more questions. Like that nasty little realization after the phone call with my uncle about the Scotsman, and how much racism I've internalized as I've gotten older.
Literally nothing about this is amusing, right?
Father God, I know my mom isn't actually trying to run us into a ditch right now, but she might do it by accident. I really want us to live, please. Thank you. Amen. That emergency prayer is a far cry from the devotionals I used to do when I was younger, which makes sense. I'm not really a Christian these days.
Stop. Get out, Mom. Come and sit. Come and sit over here. I'm driving.
By the time I get out, they will be gone.
And sure, it does feel a teensy bit hypocritical to only touch base with God when I need him to deliver me through plane turbulence or a first date with someone who looks nothing like their profile picture. But that's just where we're at right now.
Afrishiapa.
Afrishiapo.
That's right.
Afrikom ito yun, yo.
Afrishiapo. See, I told you.
Wait, what did he say?
Your accent was way off.
But you understood what I said.
We're with the Reverend, a cousin of Agnes's, for one of my last family visits on this trip.
Mitu. That means your butt.
Mitu.
Predictably, my attempt at a proper New Year's greeting is coming up short. After he finishes roasting me, the Reverend tells us that he presides over a church that has 2,400 followers.
You need to visit my society before you go. Will you?
I hope so.
You should. You should. Next Sunday will be.
And I was good. Said the right thing. But it's an ongoing problem. Anytime someone asks me about my relationship to Christianity, I freeze. The searchlight has found me, and there's nowhere to run. It's a lot easier to fly under the radar, religion-wise. In the den of unmitigated sin, that is the Bay Area. The only things people will quiz you on are the finer points of your astrological birth chart. But here? In the 30 seconds that it will take you to drive down one stretch of road, you'll see 5 billboards of graying men in well-tailored suits advertising yet another festival of miracles. 3 chochros driving down the street emblazoned with the words Allahu Akbar. Multiple stores with praise-themed, I said praise-themed names like By His Grace Beauty Shop and Jesus is Lord, Auto Body Repair. The most recent census says that 71% of Ghanaians are Christian and 18% are Muslim. But unofficially, you 100% better pray to somebody's God. And I'm not the only one who feels like I'm in no man's land. Agnes also doesn't go to church.
Because no, I look at church as an organization.
The church is more than an organization.
The way church is here, it's like a burden. You have to do it. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this.
She's more spiritual than religious. Case in point, that time in her 20s when she was a chanting Buddhist.
I believe that we have reincarnation, and I believe that we should use a mirror as our model.
I, on the other hand, used to be about that Christian life in high school when I joined my brother Victor's church. At first, it was just a way to stay close to Victor. He wore Marie-Francois Jabot and beat Final Fantasy IX. He was the coolest person I knew. And I felt his absence when he went to a college several states away. But then, the church itself became the draw. Have you ever been in a train station and gotten a pamphlet from a Jehovah's Witness? And the cover looks like the United Nations singing Kumbaya in front of a waterfall next to a docile tiger? That was the exact vibe of the congregation at Victor's church. Kids, adults, and elders of every shade mingled and laughed together. In jeans, no less. Jeans. The teen ministry leaders even remixed songs so you could drop it low and praise God all at the same time.
It's getting hot in hell, so, hot. So wash off all your sins. I am getting so hot, I wanna wash my sins off.
I loved it. I loved knowing exactly who I was supposed to be in this life. And I loved knowing that that person was good. I wanted the whole world to feel what I was feeling. My parents, however, were less enamored of my constant attempts to save their souls. They thought that church was a cult and forced me out. By the time I hit my 20s, doubts about what was right and wrong whispered into my ear, snaking into my heart. I still believed in God, but as it turned out, I wasn't so great at being good.
Have you ever heard of a covenant?
Yeah, it's like an agreement.
A contract between us and God. God is always faithful.
Even when you feel terrible about yourself and all the ways you keep failing. When you think you don't deserve anything, when all you feel is fire and you can't keep yourself still anymore. No matter how hard you try, he still loves you. Unconditionally.
So we celebrate that.
That's what the Reverend is referring to. That belief.
Statistics say that 70% of the population of Ghana are Christians. No, nominal Christians. They only come and warm the pews, or they don't even come to church at all. But they don't live according to the Christian standards. Some will not even come to church throughout the whole year.
I think this is really hitting me.
Then repent.
Hey, here's the pastor.
Hey, this is your chance, Mom.
This is your chance, ma'am. Sunday, I'm inviting all of you to
worship with us.
Agnes
is sighing so hard right now.
Is that a sigh of relief or a sigh of grief?
God bless you. Lift it up high. God bless you. It's the first Sunday of the year 2018. God has organized you and brought you to church so that you can...
No, I didn't make it to my uncle's service. It would have taken me over an hour to get there in this holiday traffic. So instead, I'm tagging along with my parents' housekeeper, Amma, to her church, a 20-minute walk away. But this will be great for research purposes. If religion infuses as much of Ghanaian life as Agnes says it does, then I can't return to California without going to the source. Amma's church is a simple but cavernous concrete building, several stories tall and hollowed out to make space for at least 1,000 worshipers. When was the last time I sat in a pew for anything other than a friend's wedding? My body has collected years of memories of slouching against the unyielding design and then being held by it.
You will enjoy some.
Wait, what did the pastor just say?
Unless I go to America, my life will never work, and so on. It's good to go to America, but...
No effing way.
It's not dependent on that.
Father God, you are speaking to me through this pastor God. I think that's what's going on. I don't know, I'm very confused. What is happening? Amen. Ninety minutes later, the service wraps up. I weave along dirt roads back home with Amma and her friends, half listening to their conversation, half musing through a sense of anticlimax. I used to highlight my Bible in neon yellows and greens and pinks like it was a freshman year course pack. And now, my first church service in years, and I still feel like I don't belong, and I don't know what to say. Or, to be more accurate, I know what I can't say.
Can you give your number to me?
You want me to give you my number?
Yeah. Let's talk. A phone talk.
What are you gonna do with my number if I give it to you?
Yes. Hi, baby. How are you? Let's give you a number to me.
I think I'm probably okay, but thank you so much for asking.
Why?
Why? Because.
He's not here.
I don't live here.
Why I can't go?
Wow, this dude is really trying to shoot his shot.
You're leaving tomorrow.
Tuesday. Yeah, I'm leaving Tuesday. On Tuesday. Yeah. Oh. I know.
Okay, yeah, Tuesday. You know what? I said I love you.
Oh. I'm sorry. What?
Is this a crime to tell us I love you?
Is it a crime to tell someone that you love them?
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you... No, it's not a crime. But if you don't mean it, then what's the point?
I will meet you for any place I saw you make friends. You understand me? Mm. Yeah? Stop it.
Oh, you want me to stop recording now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's when he pulls off his aviator sunglasses, looks me in the eye, and says, "Marry me." Father God, is this supposed to be some kind of test? You know what's in my heart. You know I'm trying. Or do you want me to say something? Please give me a sign. Amen. As I receive this marriage proposal, the thing that floods my mind is every instance during this trip of a relative asking me if and when I plan to give up spinsterhood and settle down. Like the other night out in the veranda, when one of my aunties stopped by for a visit.
You look young. Oh, wow. Then you have to.
Have to what? What's that? What do I have to do?
You have to.
Wait, what is that? What do
you
I have to do?
You have to commit.
Commit to what?
To a relationship.
But what if I like being independent and free?
For the rest of your life?
Independence means you're selfish.
Okay.
From 25 to 30, within that period, you would have dated, gotten all the ins and outs. 30, you should be ready to get married. Then you start making babies. So latest by 35, you finished. Yeah. Then life continues. Mm-hmm.
Everyone in favor of being in a serious relationship now? Yeah. Can you all raise your hands?
Yeah.
What? My two hands are up.
Okay, the 9-year-old just... Sorry, the 7-year-old. The 7-year-old just raised her hand. You're a traitor.
Yep.
What about our independence?
So, I don't relish being laughed at, but hey, marriage was my life's mission when I was her age, too. And then you grow up, sweetie. Don't worry, I didn't say any of that out loud to my family. I know how to keep my mouth shut. After I finish laughing at my would-be suitor's indecent proposal, I say goodbye to him forever. Amma and I walk into my parents' house to find my cousin Isaac, the one with the Swiss girlfriend who lives just a few minutes from me in the Bay. He's on the couch in a deep discussion about the slings and arrows of online dating.
Like stuff?
Yeah.
What?
What didn't they say?
No.
What's your
yeah, what's your love life like?
Yeah. I thought you were asking me what my name is.
No. What did you say?
Yeah.
What about it?
Huh?
What about my love
Everybody
life?
Wants to know. When are you going to bring Mr. Wright? Daddy wants to know how the wedding dress will be.
The sounds of silence.
I'm tired of all this. Everyone's always got jokes or something to say. There are things I can say. What's the point of holding still, of being good? I'm going to tell them the truth.
What's up? My phone is the one that's closest to the... Oh, that's the phone that's been blowing up.
Yeah, it's up.
Okay.
Doing what?
It might be just the family WhatsApp group.
Isaac is asking me to check my phone for some weird reason. Oh, it's a text.
Oh, just literally just came up.
From Isaac? It says, don't do this. Shithole Country is written, narrated, and sound designed by me, Afia. This episode was produced by me and Mark Pagan. Julie Shapiro and Audrey Martovich are our executive producers. Special thanks to Tanya Katenjian. Cover art by Cindy Sognoni. Our theme song, Home, was created by the wonderful Rhea Boss. Big thanks to my family. Show notes. There are definitely show notes for this episode and also for the one before this too. So go to radiotopiapresents.fm, fall down a couple rabbit holes, and then ping me. Let me know what you think about what you find. Next episode, the truth.
Radiotopia.